First Gospel, chapter 10, the passage that we read together. If you turn to that, please. Gospel of Mark, and the chapter 10. And the title of my sermon tonight is Searching for Life. Searching for Life. We find that in the words of our text in verse 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Searching for life. Let's look to the Lord for his help. Father in heaven, we pray that I would bless us. We thank you for the blessing already in our hearts of being here, singing old fashioned gospel hymns and singing about Christ, how he alone can save me. We pray that I will come tonight by the power of thy Spirit upon the preaching of the gospel of Christ. We pray that every eye would see him, even those who are in darkness. That eyes will be opened tonight in this place. And all of them will see faith alone in Christ alone can save me. We pray for thy blessing. We pray for thy help now. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. On Monday past, on the 2nd of August, a robot the size of a small car landed on the planet Mars. This is called Rover Curiosity. It traveled a distance of 352 million miles that took a total of 8.5 months. No doubt the landing of this robot is a great piece of scientific skill, and to that we all agree. They tell us that this robot hurled towards Mars at a speed of 13,200 miles per hour. Then it tells us as it got closer to Mars, it had to slow down in a time of just 6 minutes. You could talk about putting the brakes on. Well, they had to put the brakes on very quickly. There was great skill involved in landing this robot upon Mars. They tell us the craft had to be at the right angle, and also that it had to come down, as I said, at the right speed. One NASA scientist likened it to firing a golf ball from Los Angeles to land in a golf hole at St Andrews in Scotland. That's what he said it was like. So you can imagine firing a golf ball to the United States of America to get into one golf hole in St Andrews. It was a skillful operation. A lot of skill was involved in this, and to this we all agree. Congratulations has poured in from all around the world from scientists. Even the President of the United States of America, he says, "I congratulate and thank all the men and women of NASA who made this remarkable accomplishment a reality." From the very highest in the land, from scientists of different lands, they're saying to these people, "Well done, thou hast sent a rocket or a robot right from this planet Earth, right to Mars, millions and millions and millions of miles away, and thou hast brought it down, and has brought it down safely." The news was greeted, of course, with cheers and shouts, and NASA's mission control. I'm sure you saw it in the news, you saw it in the paper, how people hugged each other, they danced about with joy and were so happy. Some were even weeping. And some were even crying so much. It was such an achievement. After years of working on this project, it had come a reality. They sent up this robot and it had come down safely, even upon Mars. And they even tell us that they distributed Mars bars to each other. Automation controllers confirmed the landing. The purpose of this trip, why would you send a robot to Mars? Well, they're looking for life. They're looking for evidence of life. They're going to search for basic ingredients essential for life, carbon, oxygen, and so on. So they're searching for life upon Mars. Now, if these people only take their time, of course, to read the Bible, you'll see all about life. You'll see the beginning of life. God tells us in the book. It tells us over in the book of Genesis chapter 1, a well-known passage to every one of us. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And here it tells us, God made the world. The very world, the very earth that you and I live on tonight, is God made this world. And then it tells us on down in this particular chapter, how God made everything that's above us. How God put the sun, the moon, and the stars all upon, just by speaking. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven. And it tells us how God placed two great lights, made two great lights, the sun and the moon. He made the stars also. You see, here it tells us how Mars was even made. But it doesn't tell us in Genesis that there's life on Mars. There's life, of course, on this earth. But it does not tell us in the Bible that there is life on Mars or any other planet. But these men, they're set out to seek for life upon the planet Mars, searching for life. That's what they're doing. And I thought about this, searching for life. My heart was turned to this passage. Here's a young man searching for life. It tells us here in verse 17 of Christ, as he was going about preaching, a young man coming to Christ, and he says, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Here's a young fella, and he's looking for life. He's not looking for life in Mars. He's looking for eternal life. And he comes to Christ, and he's searching. He's searching for life. He's searching for the true life, the life that's found in Christ. I want to say a few things about this search, this young man's search for life. You see, first of all, the young man's desire, the desire that was in his heart. Here's a young fellow, and he had a desire within his heart for eternal life. Here's a lad who believes in eternal life. This rich young ruler is no fool when it comes to the matter of believing in the spiritual truth of eternity. He believes in eternity. He believes in everlasting life. He does not believe the lie of those Sadducees, which were a group of religious rulers of that day. You know what they teach? In Matthew 22, verse 23, the Sadducees would say, there is no resurrection. And they were going about and they were preaching, there is no eternal life. There's no resurrection from the dead. They're put into the grave, and that's the end of it. And there's no such a thing as eternal life. But here's a young man. He believes. He believes there is eternal life. He believes it. You can see that even in his search and his question here as he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a desire in his heart. His desire is strong. His desire is sincere. Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? You see, he believes there is eternal life. His desire in his heart that he might get eternal life. And I want to tell everyone tonight, that's the teaching of the Bible. There is such a thing as eternal life. There is such a thing as eternity. This world is not the end. You can be sure of it when we come here to the Bible, that the grave is not the end. Every one of us who's sitting in this meeting tonight, one day will be in God's eternity. Every one of us, without exception, will be in God's eternity. You either be in heaven or else you'll be in hell. This is the teaching of the Bible. This is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the words of Christ in John 5, verse 29, speaking about the resurrection. And they shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. And I say to you tonight, does Christ say the grave is the end? Does the Lord Jesus tell us that we live in this life, we're put into a hole, and that's the end of it? Not a bit of it. Talks about the resurrection of life, the resurrection of death, some to life, some to damnation. And this lad did not want to perish. He wanted to know what he had to do to get life, to get eternal life, you see. Here was a desire in this lad's heart. He wanted eternal life. He desired eternal life. In the scientific exhibition to Mars, these people, our men, believe that they will find some evidence of life. No matter how little it will be, of course. It is our desire, it is our purpose to find life. One particular man, Professor Craig Carey, he said, the possibility of finding life is absolutely there. For life, you need water and you need a source of energy. And this man is absolutely sure. He has a desire. He has a sincere desire in his heart. He says, there, no doubt in Mars.
And we're going up, and we've sent up, NASA has sent up this robot, and there's no doubt about it. We're going to find life. We're going to find life in Mars. So by their scientific skill, they've sent up a robot to look for the evidence of life. Why? Because they desire to find life. They desire to find life, you see. The young lad here, this young man, rich young ruler, he desired to find life. I asked you a question tonight. Do you have any thought or desire for eternal life? Have you a desire in your heart to be saved? Do you say, no, I'd love to be saved. I would love to have eternal life. I would love to know that I'll not be lost. I would love to know that I'll never be in hell, that my sins are forgiven. I have everlasting life. Have you a desire in your heart tonight to be saved in your search for life? Here's a rich young ruler, religious man. He had a desire in his heart in the search. I see his desire. Have you a desire? Are you not really bothered about this at all? Maybe you said tonight, no, I can't really wait till the meeting is over to get away home. I never think of these things. I never think of Christ. I never think of salvation. I have more important things in my life to think upon. How foolish. How foolish. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Have you a desire to be saved? To be saved and to trust Christ. Is he the desire in this young fellow's to search? Think of a young man's determination in the search. You can see in this passage that this young man is determined to know and to find out the way to eternal life. He comes running. Verse 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him. Here's a young lad and he's running to Christ. His heart seemingly is full of zeal to find out. He's determined. He's determined and he's running and he's running here and he comes and he kneels down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember this was all done publicly. Well, there are people all around. It wasn't the fact that he sneaked up to Christ or into some home and said, excuse me, could I have a little private word with you? And take him to the side and say, Lord, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What have I got to do? But this was done publicly. He wasn't worried about the crowd. He wasn't worried about other people. He wasn't worried what they would say. He wasn't worried about mocking or laughing of anyone. He came running to Christ. You see, he was determined. He was determined to find out about eternal life. If you really look over the passage, you'll see in verse 46, even this particular chapter about blind Bartimaeus, he was determined to get to Christ as well. He sat by the wayside begging, it tells us. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth who was passing by, he cried out, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And verse 28, or verse 48 says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And here's a man, he's determined to come to Christ, despite the crowd, despite their criticism, despite their opposition. Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And it says, hold your peace. The Lord Jesus doesn't want you. He doesn't want anything to do with an old blind beggar, just like you, sitting by the well side. He says, Jesus, thy son of David. He cried all the more. He's determined. You think in Acts chapter 16, that Philippian jailer came running in and said, he sprang in and called for a light. And he says, what must I do to be saved? He's determined. He's springing into the cell. He wants to know. He's determined in his heart. I must have life. I must have forgiveness of sins. I must find Christ. Tell me, Paul and Silas, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to be saved? He's determined. You see the determination of this rich young ruler? Running and running and kneeling. Coming. Didn't want him to cry. There he is, coming to Christ. You see his determination in his search. These sanders are very determined to find life upon Mars. They have worked for 8 years in this project. They tell us that there's a team of roughly 400 scientists on the mission, another 300 or more engineers. Years of hard work have gone in to this project. The Curiosity rover, which is the name of the robot, is carrying 10 scientific instruments.
We'll not go all into instruments at all, but there's lasers, there's drills, there's the glint of rocks, there's scopes. They tell us that this rover makes it a mobile space laboratory. And they're gathering up samples, they can do all the tests. Amazing, isn't it? Sitting here on Earth, they can do all these tests. They're very determined to find life. Very determined. They have everything thought out. They have all the equipment, their drills, their laser equipment, all of these things. They've sat down, they've planned it, they've planned this and planned that. We're going to go here, we're going to let it move so far. For 2 years, roughly. 2 years, this robot will be upon the planet Mars. You see, they're determined. They're determined to find life. Their plan is to leave no stone uncovered in their search for life. They are determined to find life or evidence of past life upon Mars. You see, they're determined about this. I ask you tonight, if you have any determination in your heart to be saved, do you plan to receive eternal life despite the crowd? Are you worried about the crowd tonight holding you back? Maybe there's some of the congregation says, well, if I get saved and I want to work tomorrow, my workmates would laugh at me. Family members would joke and sneer at me. Are you worried about the crowd? Are you determined? You say tonight, I'm not really worried about the crowd. What about your fears? You say, no, I just feel that if I came to Christ, I couldn't live the life. I just fear that I couldn't keep it, you see. And you have doubts and everything in your heart. And all you say, there's a terrible price to pay, the opposition, the hatred that I would feel if I would come to Jesus Christ. Or are you determined tonight to be saved? Ronnie said, I want Christ. I want forgiveness. I want eternal life. I'm not worried about the crowd. I'm not worried about the opposition. I'm not worried tonight about the price I have to pay in popularity, in society, or even in my home. I'm not worried. Just give me Christ. Are you determined tonight to be saved? Or are you determined not to be saved? Not to come to Christ? Not to repent from your sins? Is that your heart tonight? You've come in tonight to hear the word of God and the way of salvation. Come to Christ. Come to be saved. But you're determined in your heart, even where you sit tonight, I will not come to Christ. I will not turn from my sin. I will not trust it. And there's this determination in your heart, and it's been there for year after year, you see. You determined not to be saved. I don't want him. I don't want Christ. I don't want his mercy. I don't want his forgiveness. I don't want him. Is that your heart tonight in this place? Here's a lad, and he's running his Christ. He's determined to find out. And the Sanders are determined to find life. They're determined to find life upon Mars. And have all of these plans in operation, the time scale, everything about it. Turn up every stone in a sense to find life. Are you determined to be saved? You say, I want Christ more than anything in this world. I want him more than the riches, more than the possessions of this world, more than popularity. Oh, give me Christ, take the world, but give me Jesus. Such a heart tonight. That's how it's got to be to be saved, you know. You only be saved when you have come to Christ with all your heart. You only get forgiveness when you return from your sin and come to Christ and trust him with all of your heart, you see. Searching for life, there's a determination to descend us to find it. There's a determination with this rich young ruler. To be saved, you must be determined. Go over all obstacles, I say to you tonight. Throw away all fears. Throw away all doubts. Come to Christ. Come to him with all of your heart. We find here also in this search the young man's discernment. Here's a man, he's shown great discernment in his search for eternal life. Because you find here he comes to the right person. In his search he comes to Christ. He didn't run to the scribes and said to the scribes, could you tell me what I can do to get eternal life? He didn't get away into the synagogue and talk to other people. But here's this rich young ruler, and he runs to Christ. He's shown here great discernment in his search. He comes to the right person because he comes to Christ. He comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is great discernment in the search for life. Because he thinks of Christ. He's the one who has the words of eternal life. Remember Peter said to Christ in John 6 and verse 68, he says, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Who, Lord, can we go to? Remember the Lord had said to him previously, will you all go away from me? Will you also go away? And Peter says to the Lord, to whom shall we go? Who else can we go to? Thy alone, Lord, Thy alone has the words of eternal life. Here's a young man showing great discernment. He comes to Christ. He has the words of eternal life. He has the words. He is the one Christ who possesses eternal life. Because in 1 John 5 and verse 11, this is a record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And that is black and white, set out for us in the Word of God. Eternal life, where is it to be found? Where has God placed everlasting life, eternal life? He has placed this life in His Son. Now here's a young lad, and he is showing great discernment. He comes in His church, he comes to the right person. He comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has the words of eternal life. He possesses eternal life. He provides eternal life. We know, of course, in the Bible that the Lord Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. He's the one who gives it. Is He not the one who has provided eternal life for us? Of course He is. How did Christ provide this eternal life? By living a perfect life upon this world. By taking our sin upon His own body upon the tree. By going up to the cross and suffering for our sin. And the Bible says, by one sacrifice for sin, He put away our sin. Put away our sin by one sacrifice of Himself. He died and He shed His precious blood, rose again from the dead. He provided eternal life for us. So it was only right that this young man would go to Christ. For Christ would soon go to the cross. He would soon shed His blood. He would soon die for sinners. He's showing discernment in His search. He comes to Christ. Now he had been looking in the law. You can see that in verse 20. The Lord quoted the law to him. He said, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. All the law, I've done all these things. He was looking for life in the law, but it wasn't working for him. You never find eternal life in the law, you see. In Galatians 2 and verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. The other day I met a fella, I was doing some door work, and he was talking about works and so on. I says, I'll read a verse to you. And that's the verse I quoted to him, I read to him. He says, I never knew that. I never knew that verse. I never knew about the law. I never knew that you wouldn't be justified and you wouldn't be saved by the law of God. And here's a lad who was looking in the wrong place at one time. But now he comes to Christ. He's searching for eternal life. He comes to the right person. He comes to Christ who has the words. He comes to Christ who possesses eternal life. He comes to the Lord Jesus Christ who provided eternal life for us. He comes to Christ who can give eternal life. You see, it's great discernment in a search. I said to the unsaved tonight, if you want eternal life, you better go to Christ. You better go to Him. No one else can give it to you. The blood alone can take away your sin. He alone can save you. Well, we're not singing that tonight. Well, we're not singing that great hymn together tonight. Working will not save me. Purest deeds that I can do, holiest thoughts and feelings too, cannot form my soul in you. Working will not save me. Jesus wept and died for me. Jesus suffered on the tree. Jesus waits to make me free. He alone can save me. That's the teaching of the Bible. Working will not save you. Weeping will not save you. Waiting will not save you. You must come to Christ. You must trust Him with all of your heart. Oh, show great discernment here. And coming and looking for life, you come to the right person. You tell me, anybody better you can go to? Is anyone else you know can give you life? None but Christ. None but Christ can save your soul, unsaved person tonight. None but Christ can take away your sin. None but Christ can take you to heaven. None but the Lord Jesus Christ can give you eternal life. Great discernment in the search. It's the same with these scientists, of course, as well. They're showing discernment in their search for life upon Mars. If you want to find life upon Mars, the place to go is where? It's to go to Mars. They're very foolish to someone to suggest to these men. Let's go to the moon and to see if there's any life upon Mars. They say, how stupid. We want to see if there's any life upon Mars. Think of all the other planets, Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, and so on. Let's go to these planets and see if there's life upon Mars. Well, it would be very, very silly, wouldn't it? Such would be a very foolish notion. The discernment is to be commended in this fact. They're going to the right place to see if there's life on Mars. They've went to Mars. And here's the fellow, and he says, Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he shows great discernment here in his search. In his search for life, he comes to the right person. But I want you to see something else. The young man's disappointment in his search. See, here's the conclusion of this rich young ruler's search for life. In verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ instructed him what he had to do to receive everlasting life. And the Lord says about the commandments. He says, thou knowest the commandments, verse 19. Well, do not commit adultery. And do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And the Lord only quoted this young fellow the second half of the law. But here's a man who had the God of riches in his heart. He worshipped the idols of the riches of this world. And the Lord Jesus says, well, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. And come and take up the cross and follow me. He was telling this lad to repent from his sin and come and trust him. And he only was told away. And when he realized what he had to do, he wouldn't do it. He would not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus tells him, take up the cross and follow me. Oh, come and follow me. Come to me. Put your faith and trust in me. Be done with the world. Be done with the idolatry of riches that is deep in your heart. And come to me. But he wouldn't do that. And so his search for eternal life ended. It ended in disappointment. It ended in disappointment. He says here that he was sad. He was sad at that saying. And I have no doubt that the search for life upon Mars will end in disappointment. They will come back with some new theories. They'll come back with some great notions, I am sure of that. And we'll keep our ears open for the next couple of years. But they'll not find life on Mars. They'll not find it. It'll be disappointment for them. They'll be disappointed in their search. And I ask you tonight on seeing, will you be disappointed at the last? At the end of your life, would you be disappointed that you've never been saved? That you have never found everlasting life? That you have never trusted Christ? That you have never been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will you be like this rich young ruler that you've been run away sad, lost forever, cast down into hell for all eternity? Terrible thing. It will happen to many people. If I tell you over there, Mark's Gospel, and Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and the verse 21, the Lord Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not everybody's going to get into heaven. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, is going to get into heaven. Not everybody's a little bit of religion is going to get into heaven. Not everybody even refers to Christ here as Lord, Lord. It's going to get in. For he says here, then shall I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And here are people at the very end of their life. They've come to the end and they're saying, Lord, Lord, well, open up unto us. Let us into heaven. Surely you know me. I have preached, and another passage tells us, I have preached in thy name. I have prophesied. I have done many wonderful works. Thou knowest all about me, Lord. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Their whole life, their whole search for everlasting life, it ends in disappointment. Never made it. And here's a rich young ruler. It ends in disappointment. He went away sad. The scientists that have sent up this robot, and a great scientific achievement, we have to acknowledge that from the pulpit tonight, but it's going to end in disappointment.
They're not going to bring anybody back down with them, you can be sure of it. They'll not find any evidence of life. I'll not be able to hit my words. You can tell me in 2 years' time, it'll end in sadness. It will end in sadness, you see, and disappointment. Will that be you? Maybe you're in this service tonight and you mean to be saved sometime. You don't plan to lose your soul. You don't plan to go to hell. I don't believe there's anyone in this meeting tonight who plans to go on and on in your sin and to keep on rejecting Christ to the very end. I'm sure you have a plan in your heart to someday to come to Christ and sometime to repent from your sin and put your faith and trust in Him. But you mightn't make it. You may not make it. You search, you desire for eternal life. End. Now I say to you to come to Christ. Your search for eternal life can end here tonight. Isn't that wonderful? You can find Him. Life, life, abundant life, we were singing. Life more abundant in Jesus. If you come to Christ where you are, turn in your whole heart to Him. Turn from your sin and say, Lord Jesus, give me eternal life. Save me. Save my soul. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be like this young man who had a desire for eternal life, who ran to Thee, who fell before Thee, who came to Thee, Lord, the right place and everything. Yet he went away and said, I don't want that. I don't want that. Is that your heart tonight in this meeting? But you say, I want Christ. Is it not time for you to be saved? Is it not time for you to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? You can receive everlasting life. And you can receive life, abundant life tonight, by coming to the Lord Jesus. As I've told you in the meeting, to repent and put your faith and trust in Him. And your search for life will end positively tonight. You'll find Him. You'll find Christ. And that wonderful thing, you come into this meeting lost and in your sins and on your way to a lost eternity. And you go out through that door with eternal life in your heart. Life more abundant in Jesus. Would you not come and trust Him? Why would you not trust Him? Will your search end in disappointment? Will your search end or in devastation and destruction? Will you find yourself in hell for all eternity? I trust it will not be so. The scientist's search for life will end in disappointment. The young man that we've been speaking about tonight, his search for life, it ended in disappointment. Well, how's it going to be with you? How's it going to be with you tonight, dear sinner friend? I pray you'll come to Christ. And I pray you'll sit with this mother even tonight. Where you are, come to Christ. If I can help you, Reverend Patterson's here as well. Speak with us tonight about it. Say, I want life. I want forgiveness. It's time I was saved. It's time I came to Christ. Maybe you say I've been running away from Christ for years now. Surely it's time to be saved. Surely it's time to seek the Lord and to find life, eternal life in the Lord Jesus. If I can help you or anyone else, do speak with us. Don't go home without Christ. I trust that tonight you'll find Him, who's altogether lovely and a great Savior. May the Lord write His word upon all of our hearts. At this stage of the meeting, we're going to call on the Reverend, on the Patterson, and we're going to call on Stephen to come to the pulpit, and the Reverend Patterson is going to pray for Stephen, and he's going to close the meeting also in a word of prayer and pray for Stephen as he goes out on his mission work.
As our brother Noel has intimated, our brother Stephen here will be going to the land of Kenya, God willing, on Thursday, and he will be going for the space of 2 or 3 months. I do commend him to you, that you'll pray for him, and that you'll remember him as he goes out to work alongside the missionaries that are on the field. Do take him upon your heart, and no doubt he will appreciate that, and he would say to you tonight, I need the prayers of God's people. And I know that as a congregation, as a people of God, that you will pray for him in your private time. and also in the public prayer meetings. Just let's unite our hearts together as we commend Brother Stephen to the Lord. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of being in Thy house tonight and under the sound of Thy word. We praise Thee, Lord, that in Christ there is eternal life. We thank the Lord, He is eternal life. And O God, we pray that Thou might speak, Lord, to the hearts in the closing seconds of this meeting, that there might be haste, that there might be those that will come with reverence and bow, as it were, at the feet of the blessed Son of God. There might be that desire in their soul to have eternal life tonight. We pray, Lord, that instead of sorrow, there might be joy in a soul or souls coming to a saving faith, knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for Thy servant Stephen. We thank the Lord for that time when you strove with him and you spoke to him as a child. We praise the Lord for the day in his life's experience when you saved him. Lord, we bless Thee for putting it in his heart to serve Thee. Thank Thee for the service already done in London for John and Thomas as well. Lord, we pray as Thy young servant goes forth to the land of Kenya this Thursday, that Lord, that Thou might bless him in his endeavors. Yea, Lord, he might have souls running and seeking life eternal in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that he might go forth with the assurance God's people are praying for him here. We pray, Lord, that he might know, as Moses was to speak to the nation of Israel ere they crossed over the Jordan, the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, and he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. We pray, Lord, that Stephen might know the promise of that truth. Bless him, we pray, as he would work alongside the missionary team out there. We pray that he might be a blessing. And we pray, Lord, that he might integrate well in amongst them. We pray, Lord, there might be acceptance even amongst the churches out there in Kitale, in that region. We ask, O God, that Lord, that Thou would bless him in whatever his hand is given to do. Lord, that I might encourage him in his labors. Keep him safe on the roads. Keep him healthy, Lord, free from sickness. We ask, O God, that Thou might be pleased to strengthen him, take away any homesickness that there might be. And, O God, we pray that he might know the Lord working with him. And, Lord, he might be an encouragement to the people out there. We do remember the missionary team. We thank Thee for them. We pray that Thou might bless them. Our sister Noreen, as she travels out with Stephen this week, encourage her, O God, and bless her as she comes back to the work that Thou hast called her to. Remember, O God, our sister Margaret back home at this time in furlough. We pray that she might be refreshed and blessed to hear good news from the far off land of how well our brother is suiting in and helping in the work. So, Lord, we do pray that Thy blessing might be upon him. O God, we send him out, as it were, in a temporary basis at this juncture, that he might be a vessel used and blessed of God. Bless Philip and Anne and the family circle left behind. Meet with them, give them need of grace as well. Come thirsty in the days that lie before them. Father, we look to Thee. We thank Thee for the privilege of seeing young men serving the Lord. We pray, Lord, at each of our family circles there might be those who have a burden to win the lost for Christ. Our Lord, do part us with Thy blessing. Keep your good hand upon us as we leave this house. And we pray, Lord, that thou might speak on when the preacher's voice is sound. Bring souls to Christ. We ask and pray these things in our Savior's precious and all worthy name. Amen.